strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
For 19th, I'm your host, John Armstrong, and with me today, it's Liana. How are you doing, Liana?
I'm doing well. Were you able to get some sleep, Taryn, now that Memphis's HOH is in full swing?
I did actually get some good sleep. Yes. Look, yesterday, there's a lot to talk about from yesterday. Because again, this is Memphis's typical HOH train. Plenty of stuff to talk about, but with a decent bedtime.
Because if, you know, when he keeps to a decent bedtime, right, then you can too.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. We are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 45 in the house, and it was an interesting one. We had some stuff going on, especially with Memphis and his end game plans, not to mention he won't talk about his current week plans, but he will talk about what they're going to do in the final three.
So that's good. We'll just go ahead and skip the middle part. It's sort of like the what is it? It's like, you know, play Big Brother ? Profit. That's sort of Memphis's game plan, right? We get to see the beginning. We get to see the end. We don't get to see what's in the middle, but we will find out soon enough.
Yes. So we're going to have to see. I'm trying to find the YouTube.
We are here, people. We promise.
Where is
somewhere.
It?
Are you sure, Taryn? I don't see it.
I'm streaming to YouTube somewhere and I can't find where.
Somewhere out there.
There's 500 viewers. They're probably chatting somewhere. I just can't find it.
Oh, I see it. Okay, wait. Hold on. I have the YouTube link. I sent it in our chat. If you need it. Oh, yeah, people. Oh, we are here. I'm on YouTube. We see you.
Oh boy. All right. So, Liana, how did you feel throughout the day as I tried to tweet this link out?
Okay, let me give you my summary of the day. So we saw a lot of Memphis conversations that essentially consisted of the same formula, which is, I have a plan for this week. I'm not going to tell people what I'm going to do because people have loose lips. And then add plus or minus a few other sentences, depending on who Memphis was talking to. But this was essentially his comments to everyone. He didn't say who he was putting up, except for he has a different conversation with David. We will get there. But that is what brings us to our ultimate nominations. We also had a lot of chasing down the vote from last week. Conversations when it came to Kevin and Davon and David. So there's a little bit of that as well. But that, I would say, is sort of the general gist of what happened yesterday.
Yes. All right. So let's talk through the day. The link has been tweeted.
Good for you.
Yes. So we started the day with David and Kevin. David had tried to talk to Davon about the vote situation, and Davon basically said that she was not really interested in talking with him. So he talked to Kevin instead. He said, Day doesn't really want to talk to me. He says, look, Kevin, you guys are getting played. Like, it's like Nicole has done this to us. Like they're having conversations. They're intentionally trying to turn us against each other. I voted the way that we agreed. And this is in part what I was saying about David being a bad truth teller, is that they point this out later, that like David won't just say he voted Tyler out. He keeps saying like the way that we said, I voted the way that we said.
The plan. I voted the way that we planned. Which, of course, that Davon is like, well, there were two plans, right? Which is the right plan? It takes a whole day to finally, she forces David in a conversation like late last night to be like, say the words exactly that I voted out Tyler, but you go still have this whole day of him still being unclear with a lack of concreteness with who he voted for.
Mm-hmm. He says, so we found out what Davon said to David the day before, that, that she called him an Uncle Tom, and that he felt very hurt by that, that he did not feel like that was fair because he did go through with the plan. He did what they said they were going to do. And it really hurts that, that she's saying that to him. So that's going to be a storyline throughout the day. David trying to clear his name, and Davon not really believing him.
Yeah, that saga sort of continues throughout the entire day.
Yeah,
and is still continuing.
Mm-hmm. So Memphis is going to get to work. He talks to Christmas first. She tells him about her power. She says, "Look, one of these powers you do not have to worry about." Because I have it. I didn't tell anyone because it's really only useful to me unless I win the veto in a circumstance where I can protect somebody else, but whatever. And he says, I don't care. She asks him later, like, are you mad that I didn't tell you about the power? He's like, I don't care. I wouldn't have told you.
Memphis, like, genuinely doesn't seem to care at all. Christmas is like, look at this favor I'm doing you. I'm telling you, you don't have to be paranoid. You don't have to worry. I'm coming clean. I want another competition. And Memphis is just like, you want another competition? Like, now we're tied in competitions. Otherwise, completely non-bothered.
Yeah. He says, okay, so for this week, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to tell anyone what I'm going to do. He says everyone seems to have loose lips and I don't like it. I think Danny has loose lips. And I just know that the committee is completely safe. No pawns, no nothing. But everyone's going to have their own opinion on who should go out this week. But I don't want everybody whispering around and trying to like get deals with people and like pick people up. We're entering phase two. And what I want to do is I want to figure out how we can get the two of us to the final two, Christmas. The committee was designed to get us to this point, but it's going to implode soon. So we need to set ourselves up. I think we're a good fit, you and I, to get to sit next to each other in the final two.
So, I mean, in addition to Memphis having the conversations of I'm not telling anybody what I'm doing, this is what Taryn alluded to earlier, which is Memphis is starting to make plans for the end game. And so he makes a number of final two deals throughout the day and a few final threes as well. And this is the first one where he makes a final two with Christmas saying, how do we make a run to the final two? How do you and I get to the final two? So this is something that I think we had suspected for a while. He felt pretty close with Christmas. And so this was now seemed to be like, at least from my perspective, really solidifying that he wanted this to be a final two.
Yes. And he says, look, at the end of the day, the jury vote is like the end stuff. It's a lot of luck. I know a lot of people talk about, but it's a lot of luck. So like having two people relatively on equal playing fields, I think that we'd be a good fit there. Christmas says, okay, that's a lot. In regards to this week, I think just to put my own feelings out there, Kevin and Day are really close and they need to be split up. And Kevin is the best at comps of the three. So I feel like he should go. In regards to the final two, I agree. I want to bring somebody with me that's worthy to be there. This is all stars. I don't want to just drag somebody along. I agree. We're on, level playing field, and I would love to go to the final two with you. Memphis said, yeah, that's the good thing about the committee is that it was designed to grab like as many of the good players as possible. And so we're all good players. So we've all played great games and well, there'll be a good winner no matter what the outcome.
And that's your opinion, Memphis. The rest of us might disagree.
I mean, it is a pretty dominant alliance. We'll say that.
I mean, that's what they talk about. I mean, we've heard this reiterated so many times. And even with us joking, oh, the committee, I do feel like part of the reason is because they were able to be so successful winning competitions, right? Mm-hmm. Because then you are constantly going back to the power, constantly going back, reaffirming that power structure, reaffirming that alliance, which is why even though we joke about the committee, here they are today being the most dominant, powerful alliance in Big Brother 22.
Yeah, and probably a lot further than Big Brother 22. It's pretty crazy. This season has had some weird statistics here. That Memphis is the first repeat HOH all season long. Despite that, no previous HOH has gone home yet. All of the HOH winners are still in the game, which is very rare at this point in the game, especially when you've almost every single one has been a different person, but almost every single one has been part of this committee alliance. And let's be real, Enzo is going to say this later in the day. Enzo is part of the committee. I mean, he's basically a member of the committee. So if you look at it that way, then it makes it all lines up even better. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, I think when Christmas was naming, we've won every HOH, she names Enzo in that. So they very much speak about Enzo like he is part of the committee. So you might as well just throw him in there. Get the graphic ready, Julie. Pop Enzo's face up there.
Yeah. So what he does say is that he says he thinks it's a good idea to use Enzo to get through the committee, to work their way through it. And he says that Tyler scares him in the finals, that once they get down to six, Tyler's got to go because he doesn't want to have to face off against Tyler in these endgame competitions. He says the ideal final four is himself, Christmas, Enzo, and Nicole, because Nicole has not won any competitions yet. He feels like she'd be the easiest competition for them to beat in the final four. Now, we know this is not necessarily his exact plan. I imagine part of this is to throw off the scent of him working with Cody. But at the same time, I'm sure he wouldn't mind having Nicole there instead of Cody if that's how things work out. But he's kind of setting himself up on two different angles, which we'll talk about very soon. So they talk about this ideal final four, but then the feeds go down for the rest of this conversation. We don't hear the rest of it. When they come back, Christmas is leaving and she says, just some advice, Memphis. When you talk to other people, I know you're not going to tell them anything, but like, at least let them say something to you first. Like let them tell you their feelings. Like just make them feel a little bit heard when they talk to you. I feel like that just, you know, I think it would be good if you did that. He's like, yeah.
Memphis, I don't know if you're familiar with the concept of listening, but it might be something you want to try in these conversations today, because people do not want to just be driven into the ground with whatever idea you have. Although I will say, I think there was one point, and I can't remember the conversation, where he pretty much said, I think it was to Tyler, like, I have a plan. I'm going to put up people and I want you to vote out who I want out. Like, very much just laying down the law. So I don't know how much he took that information or that advice from Christmas to heart.
Yeah. If he did take the advice, then
he did a bad job executing.
Now, I will say, a lot of people are talking about how nice Memphis has been lately. We'll talk about that. But like, you know,
yeah, that's because it's something called low expectations. When you start out being a complete jerk and you get a little bit better, be like, oh, my gosh, it's so nice. It's like the John Robert strategy from Survivor, right? Like, you just try a little bit more and then people are like, wow, he's so nice.
I mean, I guess like this just should be added to the Big Brother strategies. Be a total jerk in the pre-jury. And then for a decent part of the jury phase, people will think that you're a goat and they won't want to get rid of you. But then if you're nice the whole jury phase, then the people have low expectations and they'll be like, wow, he's really nice. And then, you know, best of both worlds. But I don't know. We'll see.
Really just turned it around. Yeah, I think you got to add that in there. You know, maybe just like with the exception of, I think the first, what, like day or two, Memphis was pretty endearing. So it was like, oh, grandpa. So at least that will get you into the initial power structure. And then you can be a jerk.
So Kevin is going to talk to Devon. He says, look, Day, I think there's two scenarios. Either David is genuinely big mad and hurt, or he's a damn liar. And Devon says, Heard about what? She has an opinion on this. He says, well, look, David says he's been trying to keep us together since week two, that from his perspective, you betrayed him that week when you didn't believe him and you went to Tyler and Cody and believed their lies instead of his truth. And this week you're now believing Nicole's lies instead of his truth. And he just feels like he wants to give up at this point and just go home. And she says, frickin' liar. I can't stand his ass.
But he wasn't lying, and he wasn't lying in either situation. It's really painful to watch.
It's this whole, I mean, look, this, I feel like this whole season has just been one after another with Nicole Anthony, with with Dave Vaughn. It's just like, oh, God, stop. Oh, man. This whole season, I think, can be defined by this notion of like, hey, let's just be kinder to each other, even when you think that you have been wronged, because so often this season, somebody has thought that they were wronged and then go full blast against the other person because they thought that they were wronged, but they were wrong about being wronged. And thus they were the ones committing the wrong.
Okay, let me put that logic together. Yes, that does make sense. I think that's what's exceptionally, you know, when I talk about this being painful, is because the way that Devon is talking about David in the situation, is she's so upset with him, so mad at him, so convinced that he is the one who wronged her. And that is what makes it really hard having the full picture and being able to see like, no, Devon, no, that's not the case. Like, you don't need to be this mean towards him. And especially now, given the full context of the comments that she made about David, I mean, I'm really starting to have a lot of empathy for him, because I can't imagine being in that situation and have someone that you're trying to work with say such insensitive and rude comments about you. And especially when it's something that he's actively talked about wanting to come in and represent as a Black man in this game. And then to have Devon, someone who he's trying to work with, make comments about, you know, essentially you're subservient to the white people in the house, like, that hurts. And it's just, oh man, been the season, been it.
Yeah. And I mean, just like Nicole Anthony before her and Bailey and all of these people who have, like, there's reason to suspect David. There really is. Right. You can't be like, I can't blame Devon for having a bad read in the house. But what I don't like is that having that bad read and then going so full force, using that bad read, when, like, she, you cannot know anything for sure in this house. So why be so cruel to somebody, when you don't even know for sure yet? It's exactly what happened with Nicole. I think exactly what happened with Bailey and Tyler, and it's just too much. Mm-hmm. Kevin says he gets the sense that he is lying, because every time he tries to get at something, he dodges it. He says that David said, you don't understand, I have to deal with this narrative that I'm an Uncle Tom. And Devon says, well, that's because you are. And Kevin says he's building a narrative where that he's really hurt. It's the narrative.
Yes, the narrative. You mean the truth. but again, to your point, when David speaks to them, like, Kevin and David had a conversation later in the night where Kevin asked David if he would use the veto. And David won't even say concretely, like, yes, I am here to help you. I am supporting you. I am working with you. So, yes, he is sketchy to a certain extent when they try to get him to speak concretely. Same thing with the vote. Did you vote out Tyler? He never says that concretely. And so there's reason to suspect that he would be lying in this situation.
Mm-hmm. So Memphis is going to continue his stuff here. He's going to talk with Cody. He says that he's not telling anybody what he's doing, but the committee is safe. And Cody's just like, you're really not going to tell me, man. Come on. He's like, really? Like, he says that, look, let's talk about this run to the end, because the goal is to get to final two two together, we're the commission. He says that he wants to approach Enzo about the Final Three plan that they talked about. And they have to hide the fact that they already have a Final Two. So we need to let it happen organically with Enzo so he doesn't get suspicious of us already having a Final Two. And they talk about Christmas thinking she's a mastermind. And Cody's like, she came to me the week she was HOH and she was like acting like she could control the vote between Day and Bay. It's like, who do you think you are in this game? And they talk about how nobody else this season has even had a chance in this game because nobody's been able to win anything.
That's literally what we're talking about. Yeah, like they've been in power this whole time. No, it was funny because Memphis like confirms his final two, like the order of operations for this was really funny. So Memphis confirms his final two with Christmas, then goes and has this conversation with Cody where he like confirms the final two with Cody. They talk about the final three with Enzo and oh, it has to happen organically. Well, who would you know walks on up to the HOH room?
Enzo walks right up. And Cody's like, no way. Yes.
It was kind of amazing.
So Enzo walks in and Memphis stands up. He sits the two of them down and he says, okay, right now, I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid off. Right now, us three, the wise guys. They're both like, oh, so good. Oh, it's so amazing. What a great name. And so it's like, that's it, yo. That's it. He's like, that we run to the end together. And he's like, yeah, that's it, yo. That's how you did it with Dan, yo. That's it. He's like, all right, so we're good. We're like, we're in. Cody's like, yes, I love that name. He's like, okay, great. Cody, get the F out of here.
Yeah, it's like immediate too.
Yeah,
Memphis on a timetable. Get out. I got stuff to do.
So Cody gets kicked out, and Memphis says, "All right, that worked out perfect." He says, "Okay, so the wise guys, it's me and you. Just to make that clear, we're the real wise guys. The other wise guy is Christmas." Enzo's like, I love Christmas, yo. I love Christmas. And he says, so me and you are the wise guys. Me, you, and Cody, the wise guys. Me, you, and Christmas, the wise guys. Those other two, they're just knights. They're just knights for us. So that's the plan. And then lo and behold, up comes Christmas, and she walks in, and Memphis does the exact same thing about 4 minutes after he did it the first time. He sits them both down, he stands up, and he says, okay, here we go. Us three, final three, the wise guys. And Christmas goes,
I'm not a guy.
No, it's like a mafia thing. It means you're street smart. It's like you're a wise guy. You're a wise guy. And she's like, well, but you know, we gotta get it cleared first, right? And he's like, no, I already cleared it with the DR. We're locked in. The wise guys.
Oh, good. Thanks, Memphis, doing the legwork, getting the name already cleared so we can go ahead and use it. This was so funny. So I was at work at the time when this was happening on feeds, and I was trying to keep up on my phone. And I genuinely got so confused because it happened within split seconds, it felt like, of one another. So when I went back to rewatch it and then to see, oh, this is how it went down. Memphis, okay, so Memphis was able to, like I said, get three final twos and two final threes within a span of about 4 minutes of one another. It was how it felt, at least. And yes, the structure is Memphis and Enzo are sort of like the core. And then, like Taryn said, you have the knights of Cody and Christmas. So Enzo is aware of both of these final threes, all called the wise guys, which I know you talked about before, Taryn. I absolutely love the fact that he's just calling them all the same thing. It's like when you are, you know, have a side partner and you're cheating on some, you know, and you just called all the same thing. You have multiple partners. And you just call like all this, the same thing.
Like the same like pet name for your...
Yeah, baby, whatever. Yeah. And then that way you never get in trouble because you're not mixing up names. That's what Memphis is doing here. He is a womanizer after all. And so it makes sense that he would implement the wise guy strategy.
Yes. So Enzo, Christmas, and Memphis, final three. Enzo's like, yeah, the double's coming, yo. We're ready to cut whoever. We got it, yo. And Memphis is like, okay, great. Christmas, get out.
Okay. Already talked to you. Get out.
Okay, she leaves. Memphis back with Enzo. He says, this is the only way the two of us can make it to the end. Like we've got this, we've got a plan. This is, it's so funny watching Enzo and Memphis talk because they are like polar opposites. Memphis is like straight to the point, very forceful with what he wants. Enzo is a mirror. He doesn't push. He just social games. And Enzo keeps trying to social game with Memphis, and Memphis just doesn't care. Enzo's like, yeah, yo, I like Christmas a lot, yo. I like you. I feel like we vibe, yo. And Memphis is like, yeah, but the plan is we're doing this, and you're not going to tell anyone. And hold on, I've got a handshake ready, too. And Enzo's like, yeah, yo. And because we get a... And I like Cody too, yo. And he's like, great, handshake now. This is how the handshake works. And so they do their handshake thing. And then he's like, all right, great, get out.
Yeah, Memphis is so straight into the point. He's like, I don't have time for platitudes. Just shake my hand to get out of here. Are we doing the deal or no?
So Memphis makes a final two with Christmas, makes a final, reiterates his final two with Cody, makes a final three with Chris, with Cody and Enzo, makes a final two with Enzo, makes a final three with Enzo and Christmas, reiterates his final two with Enzo, kicks them all out, walks up to the mirror, straightens out his shirt, walks back into the HOH room, looks at the cameras and just says, that was too easy. Feeds cut. End scene.
It was a beautiful moment, a truly beautiful moment. This was like the Tyler speed of final twos, you know, but yeah, to cap it with that was too easy. Can't even write that.
Oh, boy. All right. So that was Memphis's work for the day. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's get back to the show. Tyler is going to talk with Christmas and Danny. He says that Day has been trying to tell him that she voted to keep him. That he's like, Day is trying to cause tension in my relationship with David. So like, she's trying to tell me that she voted to keep me and that David voted against me. She's telling me, hey, I don't want you to look like an idiot, Tyler. Don't trust David. He voted to evict you. When in reality, she thinks that David voted to keep him. And so she's trying to lie to him to make him look like a fool, but she doesn't know that he already knows. In other words, the plan is working perfectly.
This is idiotically complicated from Day's perspective. I really don't understand the decision that she made here to go ahead with lying to Tyler about this, especially when Tyler, you know, knows the truth. But I think it comes back to the fact that the plan that was hatched about pinning the vote on David worked. That's really sort of at the end of the day, the takeaway from this, because I think I talked about this last week. It does feel like there's two games that are being played. There's sort of the what is Memphis doing with Noms, his plan this week and all of his final twos and threes. And then what happened with the vote last week? Like those are really the two main bullet points, I think, of yesterday. And so this is just the continuation of what happened with the vote, which, to be honest, like is interesting, but probably doesn't have a lot of ramifications moving forward.
So Tyler talks to Christmas. Danny leaves to go talk to Memphis and Tyler is alone with Christmas. She says, hey, look, I told Memphis about my power, because I didn't want him to worry about it. And she says he understood. He said, and Tyler's like, well, don't tell anyone else. I was going to tell you to not tell anyone. Cause that's what I did with my power is that when I didn't use it and I just didn't tell anyone ever. And he says, I would rather get further with Memphis than Nicole and Danny. I don't really trust them. Danny walks back in right after that statement. And she says, you better not be scheming about me in my own bed.
Ooh, about that.
Yeah. She didn't hear it, by the way. She just, that was a funny coincidence.
Yeah, jokingly.
But then she goes back. She goes and talks to Memphis. He says that, look, I'm not telling anybody what I'm going to do, but the committee members are safe. He says, there are certain people I don't want to have to battle against in the end. She says, I know who you're talking about. Tyler. He says, yeah, Tyler's a threat. And she says, well, don't tell Christmas that. He just told Christmas that. She's like, did you ever try to feel Christmas out about Tyler, this whole final two thing? And he says, yeah. Yeah, but she didn't get defensive or say anything at all. I didn't really get any sense at all that they were working together.
Memphis, that might be a teeny tiny teensy bit incorrect that they're working together. Although I will say, even though Christmas didn't have a lot of time to talk to Tyler earlier in the conversation we were just discussing, you know, she doesn't talk about any of her relationships with Memphis, at least outright to Tyler. Although she does say, I told him about the power.
Yes. So I did not catch another conversation between Christmas and Tyler alone. It took Christmas a couple of days to tell him, to tell Tyler about the Enzo and Kevin alliance. So it's still possible that she will let him know about what she's doing with Memphis, but I don't think she will. I think that Tyler trying to quit the game really soured her on him in terms of her, final two partner and her loyalty. That like she doesn't have to be loyal to a guy that tried to essentially screw her over by leaving on her HOH. So I do feel like Tyler may have lost her complete loyalty, though she will try to still work with him because why wouldn't she? He just might not be let into all of the machinations that in a weird way Christmas has now become the sort of the secret holder in the relationship, which I don't know if anyone would have guessed that that Christmas would be the Tyler to Tyler's like Brett.
No, what a twist of fate that was. I agree with you. I think it's possible that she might tell him eventually, but I think the fact that what Christmas values is someone who is a strong competitor and who is loyal, and what Tyler did really shook that. And she has that in other people. She has that in Memphis. She might have that with that final three with Enzo. And so if she is able to have that relationship elsewhere, she's not necessarily going to need Tyler. I do think it seems like she is putting in a little bit of work to protect Tyler with Memphis, because they talk about, Memphis is sketchy with Tyler. He's also a little sketched out with Danny. So Christmas is like, oh, Tyler's also sketched out with Danny, mm-hmm. So like maybe we can keep Tyler and he would go after Danny. And the Nicole side of things. And so she's putting in a little bit of work there, which shows that she is still loyal somewhat to Tyler.
Yes. So Memphis is going to talk to Nicole. He says he's got a plan. The committee is safe. He's not saying what the plan is. She's like, okay, thanks. She leaves. He talks to Kevin. He says, look, I've got six options for people he's thinking of putting up. Kevin's like, whoa, six options. That's gonna set Kevin off for a little bit. Danny's talking to Nicole. Nicole's like, he didn't tell me anything. And Danny's like, well, he told me a little bit. He said basically that, he's not going to say anything, but that there are only three people that are in danger and that the committee is safe and that Enzo's safe. She says, what I told him, I was like, you should do what's best for you, Memphis, because we know what that is, right? He's going to do David. That's like, I've got this. Nicole's like, I would prefer Kevin leave though. And Danny's like, yeah, me too. Danny says, the one thing that I'm not doing is I'm not voting out Day. No matter who Day is up against. And Nicole's like, yeah, but do we want David to leave though? There's clearly a disagreement here that Nicole's not like, but she's, Nicole's not willing to really say it until it actually matters. Danny says that she's like, I'm getting annoyed with Memphis because I want him to stop being so nice and get a bigger head so that he gets a bigger target on his back. And this is exactly what we were talking about, where like Memphis was being such a jerk before, according to them, and now is being nice. And Danny's like, what happened to my nice, easy final two goat? Why is he being so nice all of a sudden?
Yeah, I mean, again, define nice, right? Because this is all relative compared to what Memphis was like before. I mean, Memphis just speaks in a very direct way. And so, that can also be interpreted as him not necessarily being as nice. But yes, in comparison, oh no, where did the goat go?
Yes. Danny also talks about how she wants Christmas gone soon. First within the committee. Nicole says she thinks Tyler should go first. Tyler never even talks to her. But Danny says, no, what do you mean Tyler? Tyler's not as dangerous as Christmas. Christmas has won four competitions already. Christmas has got to go. Mm-hmm. And the feet's cut.
Yeah. This was a little frustrating. It seemed like, especially during certain situations, the feeds would cut out during what I deemed to be important conversations. And so we're getting like bits and pieces of things. It happened earlier with the Christmas Memphis conversation. So like solidifying that final four of Enzo, Memphis, Christmas, and Nicole, I thought was kind of weird, right? We never really got to figure out the rest of that. And same here. Even though I will say with Danny and Nicole, they are probably on more of the outs in the committee. So I have to imagine they might be targeted earlier. But if they do get power, it would be interesting to know who they would go after, whether it would be Tyler or Christmas or someone else.
Well, I can tell you that Cody would, I mean, well, the yeah, Christmas Cody's thing like, is coming from Cody. Nicole might say Tyler, but both Danny and Cody will say Christmas. Christmas is the one person that Cody does not have within the committee. So, as long as Cody has a say, which Cody has a say, we will likely see Christmas be the target ahead of Tyler, if that ever even comes up. Cody is going to talk with Enzo. They say they hope that David isn't the target because Memphis wouldn't tell either of them. The Memphis, their final three buddy, and secretly both their final two buddy, won't tell them the plan, but they hope it's not David. And Enzo's talked about like, yo, we're in like 30 different alliances, yo. Cody's like, the wise guys, triple thread, the committee. And Cody's like, careful when you talk about the committee, because you're not supposed to know about it. Like if people find out that you know about the committee, I'm going to be like, I don't know where it came from. And Enzo's like, yo, I'll just be like, hey, yo, I've been in the committee I've been in your alliance this whole time. You just didn't even know about it, yo. And that's what I mean. Like Enzo is right. Enzo has been in the committee this whole time, basically.
Yeah, essentially. I keep forgetting that he's not in the committee at all. And so when they were having this conversation, I was like, wait, what is Cody even talking about? Enzo is in the committee. Oh, no. Right. Not officially.
Yeah. Memphis talks to Devon. He says that he has six people in mind. He's not telling anyone what he's going to do. Devon says, I have wanted to work with you for a long time in this game, Memphis. That veto thing last week, one time shot. That's it. And he says, well, look, you are a part of my plan to get through the next couple of weeks. I don't like to think further ahead than that in this game. But this to me is the tip off that Kevin is the target. Devon is not the target. And then we're going to get another tip off pretty soon. Memphis talks to Tyler. He says, Tyler's like, man, this is an easy week. I really wanted to win this one. Memphis says he's not telling anyone his plan, but the committee is safe. Tyler's like, I love it. Stress-free week. This is, again, like Tyler, very social player, trying to be social with Memphis, trying to be like, hey, man, like, oh, this is such a great week. Oh, I love the plan. Stress-free week. Oh, man, so great. And he even, like, does, like, some, like, low-key trying to influence Memphis's decision. He fills him in. He does it by filling him in on the vote situation. He's like, so Day is trying to convince me that David voted me out. And she's like, hey, don't be a fool on TV, Tyler. Don't trust David. But clearly, like, there's a rift there. You know, there's a rift between the two of them. And if they stayed in the house, like, I'd love to see how that played out, you know. But again, like, social game just bounces right off of Memphis.
That's a good way to describe it. It just won't stick to him at all. And it's really hilarious because watching players who I think are really successful at the game of Big Brother, like Enzo and Tyler, try to work on Memphis, I think it shows that, like, it depends who you really are talking to. Yes, the majority of people are social and are like that, but Memphis just isn't. He just wants to get right down to the point. So I would love to see people like Tyler and Enzo try to switch up their communication styles with him to really try to appeal to what Memphis is looking for. But Memphis really doesn't seem to care either way. He can't be bothered about the vote. He can't be bothered about anything. Your suggestions, whatever, I don't care. I'm doing what I'm going to do anyway.
So Memphis then talks to David. He brings David in. He says, all right, so you want a seat at the table? You got it. It's a straight up business deal. We shake hands. You promise me. And by the way, this is the start of the conversation. Like, I'm not abbreviating. this is the thing. This is the whole pitch. We shake hands. You promise me you will not play the veto. You will keep my nominations the same. I will keep you off the block this week. Now, the biggest part of this deal is that you can't talk about it. You can't tell anyone we made this deal. It stays between me and you. Not one person knows about this deal outside of this room. So if I hear about it, if I hear anything about it, I'll know it came from you. So here's the thing. I think that this will help us both go further in the game. Cool.
Dave's I liked it.
Sounds like a plan. They shake hands. There it is.
Done deal. Lock it up. I like to, for a brief second, I was like, oh my gosh, is Memphis testing David? Is this the testing that we've been talking about all season? No, Memphis, genuine to the point. We get the handshake back, which is, of course, the gentleman's agreement. We are going to shake hands. Like, Memphis is just, again, doesn't tell him the plan. I have other things in mind, but this is the deal. Take it or leave it if you want a seat at the big boy table.
Yes. It's a business deal. That's yep. What Memphis has always said. That's what he said when he evicted Keisha. David has more to say. He's about to reply to all of this, and the feed's cut and we don't get this conversation.
I like to imagine that he just shooed him out or tried to. Memphis is just like, oh, I don't care, and just tried to shoo him out. But it would have been interesting to see that conversation. Speaking of business deals, all of the conversations today were sponsored by, I assume, Memphis's restaurant, the mm-hmm. Pokey House, which he's got a T-shirt, which he put conveniently on the couch where he had all of his conversations. So framed perfectly, Memphis, person he was talking to, and in the middle, his advertisement for his own company. So that is a businessman right there.
Yes. And talking about social game bouncing off of him, Cody, also a very social player, also bounced off of Memphis when he was talking to him. He's like, hey man, I'm gonna be like your hype man. You're like, I'm gonna help you sponsored by Poke House. And he was like, trying to like be like playful and social. And Memphis was just like, so our final two. And as I said, Cody was like, you're really not gonna tell me your plan, man. And he was like, nah. He's like, but I'm being charming. It just doesn't work with Memphis. It's so funny watching all these players just bounce right off of him. Tyler talks to Kevin. Tyler says, because they have a conversation to clear the air here. Tyler says, so Day is telling me that David did not vote to keep me. Mm. I thought for sure he did. And Kevin says, well, here's what happened. What really happened is that everyone initially was voting to keep Ian, but then things shifted. But then there was a last minute pitch to try and tie the vote. But me and Day, we thought it was a setup. So we pulled out. So we voted to keep you. So I don't know where those other three votes came from, but David basically pitched to tie the vote because he has something against Danny. He wanted to get Danny's. So this is the story for Davon and Kevin, is that David approached them about tying up the vote, which is basically true. And then they didn't trust David. They thought it was a setup. So they backed out of it. They said, no, we're not going to fall for your trap, David. We're not going to be the three votes. And they voted to keep Tyler. But then somehow David managed to get two other people to vote that way. David, Nicole, and one other person. And he managed to trap somebody else in there. But it was not them. They did not fall for it, Tyler. And so that is the story that they are sticking to.
That's a choice that they have decided to make. Again, I would love to hear, like, what is the long term game plan here? Is it to just try to pin everything on David? Right. To say like, oh, David has to go. David has to go. I assume, because otherwise, like, especially when you guys, they think that there's a guys alliance and that Tyler is part of it. So then why are you pitching to Tyler?
And that's the thing. Okay. I'll talk about it when Kevin talks to Davon after this conversation, because that's when it really starts to not make sense at all. But Kevin says he thinks the people are trying to put targets on people. He says that he thinks it's the same people that were messing with the votes previously. And Tyler's like, oh, yeah, good thought. Kevin says, I believe Nicole voted you out because I don't know who, I don't even know who the other two are. And Tyler's like, yeah, Nicole for sure. And Tyler says, well, look, I really don't feel it was David. I really feel like you really think that David voted me out? Like, no way. Cause he's trying to play that game. And Tyler says, well, look, I swear I didn't vote me out. And Kevin's like, I swear I didn't vote you out either. And Tyler then pretends to be worried about, well, if it's the same block of people for nominations, then it's probably you, me, David, you know, Devon. Kevin promises if he ever wins HOH, he will not nominate or backdoor him. Tyler says, yeah, you know where I'm still at. Like, I'm looking out for you as well. Tyler's like, are you also in the I'm not telling anybody club with Memphis? And Kevin's like, yeah. He's like, well, that's not a good club to be in. I'm sure he's telling someone. Not actually. Tyler says that if he's on the block up next to somebody that's not him, Tyler's got his back. And he says that Kevin is the only one that's been straight up with Tyler this whole time. So that's the conversation. Kevin goes to Devon after this conversation. He says, I just talked to Tyler. 100% David did us dirty. 100% after talking to Tyler. Now it's definite. Tyler is like, there's no way David voted against me. And this is to your point. That doesn't make any sense. If Tyler is part of a guys alliance that intentionally tried to trap you, who was in on the plan, then why would Tyler give the plan away by saying there's no, why would he give away his secret alliance by saying there's no way David would ever vote against me? It should be the opposite. If I was trying to lie about this, I would be playing on a deeper level and I would be saying, man, I didn't think that David would vote for me, because I would feel like if I said there's no way David voted against me, that would be too obvious and people would see right through it. But apparently I would be the one screwing up in that part in situation, because then they'd be like, maybe he's not in alliance with them. I don't know. But I don't understand why they can't see through this one little tiny layer of deception here.
That's what it is. It really does feel like a tiny layer of deception that is just completely throwing them off, because, and this also, I will say, the situation makes my brain hurt, because trying to remember, like, okay, so what is the truth? And then what is the situation that Kevin and Devon think is happening? So if they truly believe that Tyler, Cody, and Enzo have a three-person thing with then Memphis and David as like the hanger-ons, right, then wouldn't Tyler try to convince them that that is not the situation, right? Which is what you're saying. But no, he's not doing that. And he's not even going along with like, oh yeah, maybe it was Cody that voted me. You know what I mean? Like, he's not even playing into that at all to try to convince. I think Tyler maybe is just as confused as we are as to why they're doing this. And so he's just sort of like rolling with the punches, perhaps. Very odd situation.
I mean, like, credit to Tyler in the sense that he knows exactly how he needs to play it to make them believe what they're believing. He's clearly experienced at this. He did a lot of it in Big Brother 20. But man, are they just like, they're basically like falling over themselves to believe it at this point.
But that's what I'm saying, is that if Tyler was genuinely trying to make them believe this situation, wouldn't he then be lying about the other thing? Because then they would think that, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying that there are just so many different levels to this about what you would lie about and then what people would believe because of what makes sense. So whatever, man.
Yeah. Tyler talks to Nicole, and he fills her in some more. Nicole says it makes her feel better that Devon is lying about this too, that Devon is trying to make people look foolish, because she doesn't have to feel as guilty if Devon is also playing on that level. She says that Devon asked her, and this is what was part of what was making her feel guilty. After the vote, Devon did come to her and she said, look, before I go in on David, I need to make sure that you did vote that way. And Nicole swore that she did. They say also that, with all this Memphis stuff, he can try and tell us where he wants us to vote on Thursday, but we're just going to vote however we want.
I mean, yeah, that's possible. I don't know. Christmas is all about do what the HOH. What was her rhyme from her stupid speech that was about do what the HOH wants and keep me or something stupid?
It wasn't as good as don't be a clown, keep Tyler around.
That should be his little tagline. If you ever, yeah. So, yes, sure. Fine. Whatever. Whatever.
Yeah. Day talks to Danny and Nicole. Day says that that David is blaming Nicole for all of this. And, you know, well, look, on the bright side, at least David didn't win the HOH.
David, the one who's correctly reading the situation by saying that Nicole is the one who voted to keep Tyler, which it's so funny to me that Kevin and Day now have confirmation, I use in air quotes, from Tyler, Danny, and Nicole that Nicole definitely is the one who voted to evict Tyler and keep Ian. Yes. And then, you know, the one person, David, who's actually correct, of course, like they can't believe, but of course, because of his track record, what he said previously, the way that he speaks is very complicated and can be confusing. And so that's where we are.
Yeah. And I have seen, again, like some people like David really coming into his own as a player. He's got a great read now. He knows that Nicole voted to keep Tyler. Like, what a great read. Like, I feel bad for David in this spot. I do. But he, of course, he knows that Nicole did it. He knows that he voted that way.
Yes,
he knows his own. Like, he's not so. Again, I feel like people have such low expectations of David. He knows which way he voted. He's not so dumb that he doesn't know which way he voted, and he has to somehow read the situation.
Right. I don't think this is a meta world peace situation where he's like confused about which way the vote went. Like, no, he knows the truth because he was the one who cast the vote. So yeah. He knows. If he didn't think that it was Nicole, then we genuinely have a problem.
Right. This is exactly how we got into the, you know, David, you know, being on the season in the first place, because, it's very easy to seem like you have good reads when, it's like you couldn't possibly have any other reads.
It's like he's flipped over all the cards in front of him and you can see the Ace of Spades and he's like, I have an Ace of Spades. And all of us audience members are like, oh my God, he read it correctly. He knows the cards.
It would be like if there are only two options, the Ace of Spades and the Ace of Hearts. And there, David is holding one card and Nicole is holding the other. And everybody else is like, I can't tell which is holding which. I think that David has the hearts. And David is like, no, she has the hearts because I have the spade. And people are like, whoa, how does he know?
Yeah, he's like, no, I'm genuinely holding this card. I can see it with my eyeballs. Yeah. Oh my God, he's a magician. Wow.
All right. Well, we get to the nomination ceremony. Kevin and Devon are nominated for eviction. Kevin is going to go upstairs to talk to Memphis afterward. Memphis says, look, Kevin, Devon using that veto on you last week, not the reason you're going up, but it gave me an easy excuse. And so that's all it is.
Yeah. What was the phrase that Memphis kept using? It was like, this is the, not the easy excuse. It was something else, but it was essentially along the lines of like, this is the easiest decision, the easy way out, or something like that. Which seemed like an odd thing to say. And Kevin even talks about it later about like, well, that's not a good reason. Because it's like, I'm not going to respect that in jury if I'm giving you my vote, like that this is the easy way out.
Yeah. Kevin goes and talks to Devon. They talk about who they should choose to play in the veto for them. Definitely not David. He's working with them. We should choose Nicole or Danny. They will help us in the veto. Mm-hmm. Just like they did last time. Kevin says, hold on though. Just hear me out for a second. What if Danny told Nicole that she needed to vote out Ian so that she wouldn't have to break a tie? Because it was weird because like Danny and Nicole, they kept talking about how like, oh, they didn't trust it. It wasn't going to work out. Like, what if they knew it wasn't going to work out because Danny had told Nicole not to vote to keep Ian, and it was Nicole. It's like, that is literally the exact truth. Day says, no, definitely not. I can tell Nicole voted our way, but just by the way she looked at me afterward. Like, I know for a fact.
For a fact, Taryn.
Yeah. Close. They got close. Kevin got close.
I think actually Kevin was talking to the cameras earlier and he was giving sort of, because he was running through these scenarios, he was giving like the percent chances of what would have happened. So of course there's a 90% chance that David was the one who was lying, but he does have that 5% chance that maybe Nicole was the one who flipped her vote. Nicole is the one who's lying. And then for him to bring it up later, I was like, oh, Kevin, yes. And immediately shot down by Day.
And it was exactly the mistake that I was talking about the other day, of like them bringing it up beforehand too much. Like, I don't know if we can trust this. He was like, that kind of sketched me out after the fact. It's like, there it is. It's right there. Man, if he had anybody else to talk to about this, they probably would have uncovered the truth, but it did not work out. However, they do have a sweet moment together that Kevin says that Devon, you have made my dreams come true in this house. I'm so happy to have made a friend like you. I remember watching your season and thinking that you were an all-star, and now here we are working together on an all-star season. Like, this is so great. And we talked about this in the preseason, that Kevin made a tweet during Big Brother 17 saying Devon is an all-star, and it did all come together. So very sweet moment. Day is talking about like how she can't wait to watch certain things. Like, she can't wait to watch the asthma clip on the show, because she talked about it in the DR, so she thinks it's going to be a clip on the show, which I hope it is.
I hope so too.
But it's very sweet. The two of them have a nice friendship. I wish that you know, they weren't also talking about David in this conversation, because it would have been much better.
What you mean? Because the feeds kept cutting? Because that does seem to happen when Devon talks about David. But no, I mean, you know, look, when you look at their relationship, it is really sweet. And especially with Kevin having come full circle, he was like, I got so much crap about that tweet, you know, because she goes out so early in BB 17. I knew that she was going to be an all-star one day.
Mm-hmm. Christmas talks to Memphis again. This is when Christmas talks about how Cody and Danny are very close. And she sees Danny talking to Kevin and Day a lot. She's hanging out with them a lot. She's trying to rekindle that relationship. And she's also like attached at the hip with Cody. Like, she really feels like Danny is the danger. And this is her obviously trying to, as you mentioned earlier, like sway Memphis away from Tyler toward Danny, and get him a little bit worried about that. Now, of course, Memphis is not super concerned about Danny being attached to the hip with Cody, because he has a final two with Cody, and that's good for him. So he does not seem overly concerned, but Christmas is like, I think that Danny might take a shot at me as early as next week, which is a great read from Christmas. And she also mentions that, like, Cody talks to everyone except for me. Like I am the one person he doesn't have. Another great read from Christmas.
Yeah, it was kind of, I was impressed by that moment. I was like, wow, this is good. I mean, this is also coming off, this was the conversation that happened right after Christmas walked into the love room and saw Danny talking to Kevin and Devon and David, I think. Is this the one? Because Christmas like pokes her head into the love room, goes, this is interesting. Danny goes, why is it interesting? And then Christmas runs up to go talk to Memphis about how, oh, Danny's going to come for me.
Yeah.
Very fun situation.
Oh, man. Yeah. So Christmas says, look, I think Tyler is a good option to use as a friendly, because I don't think that things have been squashed between him and Danny. So like, that's something that we can take advantage of. Memphis, not into it. He's like, yeah, it's just, you know, it'll probably just come down to comps, if when you think about it. So Christmas running into a wall here. Well, again, I don't know when Memphis said to Danny that he did not suspect Christmas and Tyler. I don't know if that was the truth that he was saying to Danny. I think that he does suspect Christmas and Tyler. And I think that like this is further evidence of him, like of Christmas being close to Tyler that he probably catches on to. He just probably doesn't want Danny to be after Christmas if he can help it. He's trying to protect Christmas, but at the same time, he wants Tyler gone so that he can get rid of that, if that makes sense. Christmas also mentions in this conversation that they talk about the wise guys, and she was like, you know, I was thinking of triple threat for our final three, but I guess wise guys is okay.
Memphis already cleared it with the DR. Christmas, get it together. He's already done that work. He knows the brand. He's got the wise guys. T-shirts are already impressed.
Little does Christmas know that whether they go with wise guys or triple threat, you are still either way, you're doubling up on alliance names this season.
That to me actually would have been the funniest if they had called it triple threat.
What if Christmas had talked Memphis into naming it triple threat? So he named all of them triple threat. And then there was also the other triple threat.
Like, we have three final threes all called triple threat.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And Enzo is in all of them. So if we're going to talk about who is most connected in the house, I think the proof is in the pudding or in the triple threat.
So David talks to Kevin. David said, look, I voted the way we said. Kevin says, well, you have to understand, like, I found myself on the wrong side of a vote and now I'm nominated. Like, what am I supposed to think? And David's like, do you really think that like you're nominated because of the vote? Kevin's like, no, I don't. David says that he really, like, people have tried to make him feel like he's not black enough in his life. And this whole situation really hurts because he has been trying to keep them together and he has been trying to work with them. And he did go through with what they said. And Kevin, again, to his credit here, is like, look, I'm fine. Like, I don't need to keep investigating this vote. It's this whole thing is too extreme for me. I'm going to find out soon in jury. Like, I know I'm not long for this game. I'm going to find out the truth soon. So I don't need to attack you right now. You know, the truth will come out soon. I just want to be able to enjoy the game as much as I can. And I don't want to have to hate myself afterward. Which is the correct stance, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you definitely don't want to be kicking yourself, which I'm sure Day will, for going so in on something that's so incorrect. I felt really bad for David here. I mean, my heart went out to him in terms of empathizing with his position in the house. Like, I'm sure it must be so frustrating to know the truth, communicate the truth to those you're working with, and then have that thrown back into your face. And I forget how good David can be when he's not talking about the game with other people. And this is like somehow through the context of having out, I guess, like things that are more important that the game be tied into the game. It's almost like he's mixing the two together. And so we're starting to get David feeling a little bit more comfortable talking game as long as it's within the context of something that is larger than himself. So, for example, the comments that Day made like really hurt David, still within the context of the game. But he's able to have these conversations, these emotional conversations, and really pull on Kevin's heartstrings. And he's genuine when he's doing it. Like, I do believe what he means. The only issue is then when Kevin goes and asks, oh, OK, so would you use the veto on us? David just shuts down and is like, well, so someone would then go up and Kevin's like, well, yeah, but not you. Like, you would be safe. And then David just runs through the scenarios of, well, you know, who do we think it would be? And never firmly says, yes, I promise you, I voted with you. I am working with you. I am committed to using the veto on you to save us, to get us as a group further. He fails to do that, which is why I can understand Day and Kevin being suspicious of him.
Yeah. And to be clear, I don't think David would use the veto. He shook
Memphis's hand.
He made that deal with Memphis, and Memphis made it clear that if he went back on this deal, that he would be like target number one, and Memphis would do everything he could to get David out of the house. And David tries to make a point to Kevin, which is like, if I use the veto, like, who goes up? like a pawn, like one of us is going home regardless of what happens here. So this is not a situation like Devon, where Devon won the veto and had the ability to solidify that all three of them were safe by taking Kevin down. This is a situation where, like, sure, David could use the veto on either Day or Kevin, but the other one would just end up leaving.
As
to your point, he does not communicate that well at all. He just kind of like shuts down and, well, you know.
Right. And I think that's the thing is, like, I understand that that's the reality of the situation. But if you're working with people and you're trying to convince them, I am working with you, I am on board with you, then you can throw the veto competition. Like, you don't have to win, right? You can.
He doesn't want to lie to, he doesn't want to be like, yes, I will use the veto on you, then go and throw the veto competition. Like, he's trying to be as honest as he can, I think, because he doesn't want to lie to them at all, right?
Regardless, he poorly communicated the situation.
Yes, that's the thing. He just doesn't know how to communicate in the game very well. They do talk about Memphis. Kevin talks about this. He says, Memphis, I think everyone is looking at him like, or was looking at him like, oh, easy person to drag to the end so that they can beat him. But his whole attitude has changed since Jury. He's so much nicer. And David agrees. They talk about like how like he's ever since Jury, he's been nicer. Like, if these people think that they can drag him to the end, they've got another thing coming.
So much nicer. So it's been so much nicer. But then I think that that transitions into then Kevin explaining how the goat strategy works to David of, sometimes there's a player that's not in the majority alliance or a player that's not particularly liked gets dragged to the end. So that the person sitting next to them will get all the votes because their alliance members are in the jury, which is, David, what might be happening to you? That's why they're courting you. Unclear if David understood this because he never really responded to Kevin. But at least Kevin is trying to maybe communicate with him game wise.
Mm-hmm. So Kevin talks to Devon after. He says, please talk to David. Day says, I don't want to. And he says, please just hear him out. So she goes and she talks to him and he says, I get it. This is the, you know, like the fourth time we've been in this situation. I know you're not going to believe me, but I did vote the way that we agreed. She's like, which way was that? Tyler, and he says it like a kid might say a swear word, he's saying Voldemort, he's not really supposed to say it out loud, Tyler out. She's like, what did you do? I voted Tyler out. I want to hear the sentence. It's like, I voted Tyler out of the house. It's like, okay.
I think it's like when a kid, I love this analogy. It's like when a kid learns a swear word from somewhere and the parent is trying to figure out where they learned it from. And the kid's like, this is Tyler. Who did you learn it from? Well, I learned it from him. Who is him? I learned it from Tyler. Like, finally, Damon just had to say the words exactly to me.
Yeah. So David says, look, I get that you're not going to believe me. I get that you believe Nicole. And that sucks because you don't want to risk your heart. And I get that. I do. And he thanks her for apologizing for what she called him because it did make him very upset. So there was an apology there. There's going to be another one later. Day says, OK, but look, I'm on the block because of something you did. This is about the vote. This is not about the veto. This is about the vote. And David's like, what do you mean? Memphis won HOH. It's like, no, I'm 100% sure this is about the vote. I'm on the block because of that vote. I do apologize for what I called you, but you know, you told me that I'll see. I'll watch this when I get out and I'll see. And I hope I'm wrong, because if I'm right, you jeopardized my safety in this game. And I have been working all season long to keep you safe. You were supposed to go before Janelle. You were supposed to go before Keisha. And I was the one working to make sure that didn't happen. This is just flat out lies. She's going to say so later. She says, you're going to look like a dumbass if I'm right. That's all I'm going to say. And he says, look, if you're right, then I will see those words that you used that triggered me over and over and over again. And the trauma that I experienced last time will be multiplied because I've been here a whole lot longer. Believe me, I know. And she says, well, I hope I'm wrong. And she leaves.
We find out later from Devon talking to the cameras that she was laying it on thick with David. She, you know, she exits the room from the conversation with David, doesn't give him a hug. She later says to the cameras, I would have given him a hug, but I have to make him feel bad because I believe that he betrayed me. Like, she still genuinely thinks that David is the one who is tricking them. And Devon wants him to feel bad. She wants him to go fix whatever mistakes he made. He needs to feel bad for what he's done in the situation, which is sort of part of the reason why she speaks to him that way. And does the other thing about lying to protect him. I've done all this stuff for you. You were supposed to go earlier and all of that. The other thing I will say is that what it has confirmed to Day and Kevin a little bit, that the two of them going up on the block means that David is working with Memphis. David is in a guy's alliance because he didn't end up on the block. If there is a backdoor plan, then that might change their opinion. But that's part of the reason why Devon is so convinced, because David didn't end up on the block and all of her other reads that she has in the house.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, afterwards, Devon goes to Kevin and she says, I made him say the sentence. I voted out Tyler. And after he said it, after he said the words, his eyes started watering and he started shaking. He's a lying fool. She says, I had to be mean. I had to be mean to him because I needed to make him feel bad. I sprinkled some lies in there. I obviously wasn't working behind the scenes to protect him at all. So now he feels like crap because he did it. He feels guilty because he did it. And Kevin is just kind of like, you know, it's, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter, though. Right. Like, we'll all be heading to jury soon. We'll find out the truth there. So
thank you, Kevin, because that was how I felt the whole day. So I'm trying to watch conversations and I'm really focusing on what Memphis is doing, because right now that is where the game is headed. And this is just consistent conversations about stuff that happened last week that doesn't necessarily matter in the grand scheme of things and is just sort of an ugly situation. So I wish we could all, like, they should all just be like, Kevin, let's just leave it in the past. Doesn't matter. It was last week. It really has no impact moving forward because Devon and Kevin are so far on the outs, because David is on the outs, although maybe not as much as the two of them. They just really need to focus on moving forward. Although, you know, their days are numbered.
Mm-hmm. So that was basically the day here. Now, I can say that based on some of what I'm seeing this morning, Memphis has indicated that the real plan that he hasn't told anyone about is actually a David backdoor plan, that he does plan to potentially backdoor David. Now, I can't completely confirm this. I don't know. I think he's telling it to Tyler. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's the truth, or that it would go through, or that David would go home. But this is potentially the plan here. I would hope that if there is a backdoor plan in play for David, that might tip off Devon that maybe David isn't quite as in tight with those people as she thinks.
But it doesn't matter. Right?
Yeah.
Does it matter?
No.
I don't think so. Yeah. Whatever, man. That's so mean. Memphis, you shook his hand.
Well, that's again the thing, like, that's why I'm saying, like, I think it's possible that he's lying, that he's just saying that he, because like you know, that he is trying to make sort of an under the table deal with David, and still trying to act like he's, I mean, this is classic Renegades of, like, you nominate your secret, you know, deal person, or threaten to. Right. So I don't know for sure that this is the truth. Like I said, I'm only reading a couple of updates as I'm podcasting. So, I'm sure we'll talk more about it tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern when we update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. We'll see what happens with the veto, or at least what happens with the veto competition. I will also be live tonight for the Saturday Night Legacy Watch Roundtable. Should have a good time there. Make sure you check it out. We've got a special guest that's going to be joining us as we talk through the legacy of the players and what's been happening this week. Liana, anything else that you wanted to bring up from the day?
There was one conversation that really made me laugh. This is when Devon and Kevin were sitting together. And Danny and David enter and they're all hanging out and they're kind of making jokes about this season. Oh, this, what if this season is so bad? And I think Danny says something of like, hashtag, we waited 14 years for this. Oh, I sighed when I heard that comment.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. They get it. Like,
they can read that correctly.
Yeah. So that's it. That's what we have for you. Like I said, I'll be back tomorrow morning, later tonight. You can fill out the Legacy Watch survey. You can put these players into the proper legacy station, that they deserve. If you find me on Twitter at @ArmstrongTerran, I will tweet out the survey after this podcast ends. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/TerranArmstrong. Liana, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @LianaRHAP, podcasting about, of course, more Big Brother with the RHAP BNB. We're having Peridium as our guest this week, which actually Tyler shouted out on the feeds, I think, a week ago. So Peridium makes awesome YouTube content. So definitely check that out. And then The Masked Singer is almost back, baby. Puya and I got together. My housemate Puya and I got together to talk about all of the costumes and what we think the season is going to be like. So that will be out soon as well.
All right. Thank you guys again for joining us. We'll see you next time.